Hey, this podcast is brought to you by RockCon. I know this might have already passed, but September 13th, 14th, we are going to be here, and we would love for you to join us. Get in the house. It's going to be an amazing time. Register, and we'll see you soon. Hey, welcome to the Rock Life Podcast. Today, we are jumping into judgment.
Wow.
Judgy, judgmental.
Jumping into
what
judgment.
What can we do? What shouldn't we do? What does the scripture allow us to do or even call us to do? We're going to be talking about all that juiciness. I'm here with Pastor Dan. What's up, Pastor Dan?
I'm good. I just feel like you're judging me.
Well, I do want to know what is up with this shirt. It's very much giving Trader Joe's. I mean, can I say that? I'm looking for the name tag.
I shop at Trader Joe's.
Well, there you go.
I do love the store.
So and, is there is there a reason?
Well, there's it's twofold, and most people are probably thinking because the end of summer is coming at us rapidly, and I'm one of those guys, like, when pumpkin spice comes out late summer, I'm judging.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like put that away.
Right.
I don't like you. I'd much rather be hot than cold.
Well, it's awkward to be triple digits and be thinking
pumpkin
about
spice
fall.
It's like get that out of my face. Yeah. You know, it's like Costco putting Christmas out right now.
Yes.
I'm like, it's seriously?
Bizarre. It's bizarre.
Yeah, but I mean, there's people that are already putting stuff up and doing that. But end of summer. But you know, in the mountain communities right now, we've got some terrible fires. Mm-hmm. Some of you listeners out of state and that sort of thing may not know this, but we have what's called the Line Fire. If you look it up online, you can see it. And terrible. Mm-hmm. Mountain communities are at risk right now. And so this morning, my wife reached out to one of our friends up in the mountains, and they sent a picture of themselves back with a Hawaiian shirt on. And they said, we're trying to bring that Hawaiian shirt energy today.
Oh, come on now.
And they were remembering because they used to attend the Rock, and now they're at a church up closer to them up in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And so they were saying that they were remembering some of Pastor Deborah's messages on fear, what we're looking at. And so they're just trying to look to Jesus, but they're bringing the Hawaiian shirt energy. So I'm bringing the Hawaiian shirt energy. We're standing in solidarity with the mountain communities. Yeah. We're praying for you guys, for those of you that are listening probably later. I would imagine you've got more important things to do right now than listen to a podcast. but later on when you hear this, just know that we're praying for you. We're standing with you guys. We love you, and we're bringing that energy as well. Yeah. So, yeah, no, see, you totally misjudged me. You were like Trader Joe's. And
you're just over here being pastoral.
You're eating organic. Yeah. I'm bringing the energy. I'm standing in solidarity with people that are you know.
I can see that's your vibe today. You know, very very Hawaiian shirt. And that's
it is. Yeah. No. And I love the summer.
And obviously we're dating ourselves in terms of the date, but after a few, probably 7 or 10 days of triple digits.
Yeah.
I think it's actually supposed to be in the 80s today.
It's nice.
Which is like, that's why I wore a long sleeve shirt.
Now, you look fall.
It's kind of like
my ode.
You
got the forest green.
It's my ode to cooler weather.
Is that right?
I'm bringing it in. I'm trying anyway.
I mean, to me, you look hot.
Thanks.
Not like that. So.
No, yeah. I like to keep, I like in the office for it to be.
Now, the office is chilly.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, they do blast us with the cold air. Yeah. You can wear something like that when you're working. So there have been times where I've worn something like this and been cold, like literal shivers, you know, where I had to go and grab like a blanket or something like that. So shout out to San Bernardino Police Department. They gave me a blanket. And so I usually am wrapped up in that one.
I wondered if I was going to get – I've been wearing a lot of T-shirts.
Yeah.
Because it's been so hot. So I was like – and I'm kind of out of dry cleaning, so I'm – gotta go. actually, probably the first time not wearing a T-shirt for a while.
Time to wash your clothes, bro.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
Anyways,
judgments.
Pastor, so you see all my. How do you know that my clothes are dirty? They're not dirty.
Yeah, dirty.
This was a great weekend. We finished chapter one.
Yeah,
and we
launched
got
in chapter two.
How many weeks was that? Because that felt. And you did tell us that expect to slow down, but.
Yeah. No, I mean. The pace we went through those last three messages, we took chunks of verses, and it was intentional just because I wanted to keep the context and not focus so much.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you've got a list of 22 sins with, you know, if we did a 3 or even a 4-point message, my goodness, you know, you're into like 5 messages just on the sins that are listed there. And I don't know how much it would edify the body to know the definition of some of those things.
I like that. I like when we take the bigger chunks because I get it helps me to understand the full picture.
Right.
in the scheme of the story too.
Right.
So that way when we go through like, oh, I understood it in the whole of what the whole letter was saying.
Right.
So where sometimes it gets like, oh, I forgot we're in a letter.
That's where I'm trying to review too, because if you notice, I continue to point back to the fact that the gospel's introduced. Mm-hmm. And that with the gospel being introduced, all of a sudden the wrath of God is also introduced.
Right.
Because there's good news, but until you understand the bad news, you won't really appreciate the good news.
See, and I like that. There's kind of like the callback.
Right, yeah.
Which it makes it, oh, okay, this is not, just, you know, even the mini series, you see it within the scope of Romans and the what's true to the letter at large.
Which points back to verse 1, which is who I am, what I am, and why I am. Yeah. I am what I am by the grace of God, right? Mm-hmm. And the gospel brings that grace into my life.
Right.
And so it all goes back to that. And what I am and why I am is because of the righteousness of God and the holiness of God that's imparted through that grace. And so, I mean, we're going to see that. And then obviously chapter 4, we're talking about faith.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some real significant things about that first verse that is just the seed of everything else that blossoms into this book.
Yeah.
So, you know, with that comes, you know, we were talking about this, the righteousness of God. Well, there are people that are self-righteous. Mm-hmm. And self-righteousness also brings criticism and judgmentalism, right? Mm-hmm. Where people are going to look down their nose at others because I'm better than you.
Yeah.
You know, and whether that's a class thing, a race thing, whether that's education, whether that's economics, we have a way of working our way into, I'm better than you. I mean, even people who are, you know, in life, by and large, and this is not to put anyone down, but by and large in life, overall their failures, well, if I'm just not as bad of a failure as someone else, like people will look down their nose. I mean, even criminals do this, right? Well, I'm not doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
You know, I may be stealing things out of people's houses, but I'm not harming anyone.
Right.
You know, no one's getting hurt.
Yeah.
And they don't realize, like, hey, you're still just as bad. You're still deserving of the wrath and the punishment of God. And even the greatest, most moral people, really, that's really what Romans 2 starts talking to. And then it talks to the religious later on in the chapter. But I think these two groups really could get lumped in because the religious are moral.
Yeah.
The moral, you know, they magnify the problems. The religious, they distance themselves from the problems.
Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes I was talking to somebody recently about self-righteousness and what it does, because I know the way I grew up, you know, borderline legalistic, religious, depending on your perspective, it leans a lot on self-righteousness because what you're doing is you're saying, I'm refraining or I don't do this. And because I don't do this and you do that, it puts me in this position. What I find interesting in that judgment is, and we've heard it said before, when you compare somebody, someone gets smaller.
Mm.
What is not true is that someone gets bigger.
No.
Right? Like, you didn't get bigger. Someone else just got smaller.
Well, I think even the word belittle.
Right.
Right. Right. You're causing someone to belittle
by
putting them down.
Yeah.
And so that word in itself is very telling. And that's what you find judgmental people do. They belittle others. I'm better than you. They're comparing because they want to make themselves look better, bigger, and better, and they want to put down someone else, and it really doesn't do much good.
Yeah,
you know. And I had a lot of experiences as a teenager, and just that pride and that I was raised in a Christian home, in the sense of going to church and that sort of a thing, and knew the Bible. Had gone to Christian school for a couple of years, you know, and so knew like, at one point I think I had all 12 disciples' names memorized.
Oh, wow.
I probably couldn't do that today.
Yeah.
But
that'd be tough.
Yeah. I know some of them in there, you're like, wait a second. And there's different lists too. Yeah. So it's like, which list are you going by? You know, but at the same time, you know, so there was a whole lot of that in me, and I hadn't done the things that my friends had done.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was easy for me to judge.
Yeah.
You know, and even after I got saved, it was still an issue that I had to put under the power of the blood and let God work with me. And definitely, you know, when I married my beautiful wife, she helped me with that in the most kind and wonderful way. Absolutely. I loved every moment of that process.
Yeah. And you're not lying at all.
No.
No, yeah.
I'm sure your wife helps you with that too.
Absolutely.
In the most
peaceable
and
gentle way. Yeah, and it, again, it just feels
way.
So...
Yeah, it feels good, doesn't it?
Well, you know, we can talk about how judgmentalism is bad all day, but I think you, not I think, you also spoke in the message about the contrast, which is what can be rightly judged,
right,
versus judgmentalism. I think, you know, talking to our church family, I think it could be a common struggle. How do we make that distinction between what we rightly judge and how to keep from being judgmental? Because we know judgmentalism is a turnoff for everybody,
yeah,
for believers and non-believers alike. And if we want to be a good witness, and I think that's what it boils down to for many of us, we know we are full-time ministers. We know we want to see salvation. We know we want to see the Inland Empire saved.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is going to be by our witness outside of the four walls. So we need to kind of be better at this,
right?
Where we're not judgmental, but we can still judge things rightly. And then when do we need to do that? Well, I'm going to judge you rightly, because you know what comes to mind, the statement of you can win the conversation but lose the sale.
Where it's like the
same thing,
yeah.
Like, okay, cool, you pointed out my flaws, I don't want to talk to you,
yeah.
Right? Where, you
yeah.
know, but I judged rightly, you know, when.
Well, I think that speaks to the spirit in which it's brought, because even, you know, when we think of judging, we only think of judgmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
But if we think of a judge in a courtroom, they have to make a decision. They have to make a determination. And, you know, whether or not they agree with it in their, I don't know, their psyche, their flesh, you know, whatever that is, whether it's comfortable, I guess, is the terminology.
Yeah.
Or not, they still have to bring that judgment.
Yeah.
And I think for a Christian, it's not that we like telling people that they're going to hell. It's not that we like telling people that their actions are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we enjoy telling people that their destructive habits
mm-hmm.
are going to bring them down the wrong path. No one likes that.
Right.
You know, we're not going to enjoy that. However, we have a responsibility, number one, to judge by the Word of God, judge by the Spirit of God. But number two, that in that judgment, to bring that with a spirit that says, hey, I'm in the same boat,
mm-hmm.
right? Because if I'm not careful, I'll fall into the same sins like Romans told us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's why I think the Apostle Paul said, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, lest you also be tempted,
right?
We can fall into the same things that anyone is doing. You know, it's like people judging someone that fell into a moral failure and being like, oh gosh, they're so awful, they're so horrible, and then later on in life they find themselves as an adulterer,
right?
You know, or addicted to pornography or something like that, and yet they want to judge the person that they saw on television or, you know, in the news, and they're judging. But then, you know, many times what we judge, you know, I've heard Pastor Joel say this for years with Breaking Free: what you judge, you become.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
right. Even my dad one time told me, he said, it's crazy because, you know, as you grow older. And he said it in such stark terms. He said, you become the thing that you hate.
Mm.
And I thought, oh my gosh, that's so like, such a crazy thought. And what would make him think that, you know, he was better than his father. He didn't do the things that his dad did. And yet he saw characteristics that he had probably judged in his dad that now he was exhibiting in his own life.
Right.
And I think that's where we have to be careful that when we make a decision based on the Word of God, a determination, if you will, and we'll call that a judgment,
right,
that we don't become judgmental,
right,
which means that we're now criticizing, we're now putting that thing down, we're looking down our nose at it, or thinking that we're impervious or, you know, impenetrable.
Yeah.
And that's where we're wrong. We have to make those determinations, those judgments, in a spirit that says, hey, I know that I could deal with this. I know that I could struggle with this.
I know
the devil could throw this at me, you know, no matter how bad it is.
Yeah.
Right. I would never do drugs. Mm-hmm. Well, prescription drugs might be a problem for you in the future.
Yeah.
You know, I would never commit adultery. Well, pornography might be. And Jesus said, if you lust after someone in your heart, you've committed that act already. I would never murder anybody. But do you hate someone?
So I would maybe say that that's the spirit of high horsiness.
Ooh.
Right? Where so I can see the difference is if I'm on my horse and I'm telling you versus me coming down from my horse.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of like saying, hey, maybe in that we're talking about the practical application of this could be when I struggled with this, yeah. fill in your blank, right?
Yeah, sure.
This is kind of how I did. So now I'm not evading telling the truth, but I'm also not, I'm kind of coming down to a place where like, hey, or hey, when I struggled with that same thing you were in,
right?
Or when I, you know, there, if someone's witnessing to someone that is smoking weed or something like that, hey, when I was smoking weed, this is what I did to stop, or this is one of the things I noticed in my life, and this is what helped me. Versus, you should just stop smoking weed because it's like when good, you know, good and well, you used to smoke too, right? Like,
yeah.
So I think those are maybe I can see that, and would also speak to the heart behind, you know, you talked about the example with your dad. It could be like, well, if my heart motive was because I'm not going to be like that,
mm-hmm.
versus because of a genuine relationship with God, right. or because, you know, hey, I'm going to be there for my kids, not because I care to be around my kids, is because I'm not going to be like my dad who was never around me, you know, yeah. type deal. Could that be some of the ways that could get us on the other side of?
Yeah, I think we all have to check our motivation. Right. You know, like you're saying, what is your motivation? If it's just to check a box,
right.
you know, that I'm not going to do what my dad did, you know, and so you're with the kids. Are you really connecting?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really imparting? Are you really, you know, putting the values and things into their lives that they need for their future?
Yeah.
You know, if your motivation of being with your kids is because I love my kids and I want the best for them and I enjoy them and I want them to enjoy me and have access to me and that sort of a thing, you know, then that's going to be a totally different experience. And same thing, you know, if someone's smoking weed and you have an opportunity to speak into their lives and you're looking at them down your nose, then it's going to be, you shouldn't smoke weed. And then all of a sudden the lies come in that the enemy wants to put in there. The Bible says not to smoke weed. Well, they're going to come back and say, well, where does it say
right.
that? And they'll never see it plain
yeah.
spelled out.
Yeah.
Right. But the Bible does talk about being subject to the governing authorities. Mm-hmm. Well, it's legal now. Okay. But it also talks about being sober minded
right.
and anything that takes you out of your natural mindset.
Yeah.
We shouldn't do yeah. right. And that when we open ourselves up to those things, we actually open ourselves up to the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't understand that a lot of times when you see those words that are associated with, you know, where we get our word pharmacy from mm-hmm. is pharmakeia,
yeah.
things like that, that oftentimes the occult practices, things like that. And, you know, people would use these intoxicating drugs in order to open themselves up to the spirit realm
right.
and to the demonic things that we understand, we know. Now, if your heart is, I genuinely want them to have the best life,
right.
to not put themselves in a place where the devil can work with them, you know? And I want them to live a life that is productive. I want them to be in their right mind.
Yeah.
And then as well, I think the things that we don't know, you know, we talked about context matters, right? Yeah. Why are they smoking weed?
Right.
Well, it's the thing to do, right? Everyone's doing it. It's popular. They mm-hmm. like the feeling, right? So we've got a couple things going on. One is that they could be insecure because they didn't have a good upbringing.
Right.
And so their friends that are smoking weed, actually, they're looking to them for approval. And so that's where we can bring the good news that,
yeah.
hey, you don't have to strive for approval. You're already approved in Jesus,
right.
right? God loves you unconditionally. Now, that doesn't mean that his approval is unconditional.
Yeah.
He disapproves of being out of your mind.
Right.
But you don't have to strive to gain God's approval. God is welcoming. God's loving. He'll receive you as you are.
Right.
It might also be that they want to be out of their mind because they want to escape the pains of the life that they're living.
Right.
And if we address those root causes without judgment, like, hey, I know that there's things going on in your life. I want to let you know that I'm here,
mm-hmm.
but God's here to help.
Yeah.
And we love you. And listen, there's no judgment.
Yeah.
Right. We all stumble in many things, you right. know, and like for a person like me, I've never smoked weed. Right.
So, real quick. Cause you said there's no judgment, which is true because you're not judging the person, and I'm trying to track.
Well, you're not judgmentalism.
And that's what I mean. Like, so you judged in terms of what is right and wrong.
Yeah.
A situation, but you're not judging this person in where they're at, which would is that what maybe a practical distinction
so,
of judgmentalism?
Yeah, because right, the judgment is, hey, this is wrong,
right?
Right?
Yes.
And it's a
not you're wrong and you're horrible and
no,
right?
No, see, and I think that's the thing is a lot of times when we tell someone this is wrong, they think they skip yeah. to I'm wrong,
right?
Right? I did this with my wife early in our marriage. We had to work on our language with each other so that we could, you know, move forward in our marriage. And so My wife is, as many of you guys know, when she speaks, she's very blunt, you know? And so there'd be times that she'd say, hey, that's stupid. And I took that as you're stupid, right? And we had a conversation about that. She said, I never said you're stupid. I said, but what I did was, you said was stupid, you know? She goes, yeah. And I'm just like, well, that means I'm stupid if I'm doing it. And she goes, no, it doesn't, you know? And so we had to have that conversation. And so our language with each other had to change, you know? And so we had conversations about words and, you know, things like that and hash those things out. And I had to, you know, get a little tougher in in that area just because I was sensitive to it. But she was also sensitive to what words she would use with me. And so we both met each other in the middle. And I think that there's a world out there that when the church is saying, hey, this is wrong, they're thinking you're wrong.
Yeah.
And that's where some, again, not all, because the world judges, oh my gosh, just as much more than the church does, you know, and yet they want to point the finger at us. Yeah. But it's like, you know, when they hear that, they think you're wrong, you know, and so they're receiving that in a way that's not going to be productive. Now, yes, there may be some in the church that are self-righteous, religious, that are saying, yeah, you're wrong, you know, and we don't want you, and stay out, and, you know, all those things, or you better repent, you dirty sinner, but don't show your face in this church, go to another church where they accept people like you, you know. But that's a small portion of the church. Most of the church is saying, hey, that's wrong, you know, not that you're wrong, but if you would bring that to the Lord, he can save you, he can work with you, he can clean you up, he can move you forward in life, and there's a lot available for you. And you know, the real Christians are like, we're here to help.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that's the distinction, you know, where when we say there's no judgment, what we're saying is there's no judgmentalism here. We're not criticizing and condemning you to death. We're loving you to life.
And I like that. And you did talk about that on the weekend. And I wanted to give you a case in point, because I found myself actually this weekend in a situation. We were at a family party and I'm having a conversation with someone. And they're asking me a question. Obviously, when someone finds out you're in ministry or you work at a church, right?
All immediate of
a
sudden, confessional.
Exactly.
Yep,
hey, happens. What do you think about this? And they kind of start to lay out, you know, and share how they are living with the mother of their child. And, you know, hey, you know, I know this is wrong. But I found myself, in full disclosure, in an overcompensation to not be this judgmental guy. Like, almost I had to stop, because I was almost going to skate around the judgment of truth.
Sure.
In other words, in the name of not being judgmental, I was going to evade the judgment of what's right and wrong, because I didn't want to make this guy feel bad. I had to catch myself, because on the other side, you realize, again, we almost act as if people are going to be so sensitive. People do want the truth.
They want it.
So he was looking like, you know, like, so what do you think? Like, because I know it's wrong. And but what do you think? And I'm just like, oh, man, like, now, obviously, I'm not God. It's not my place to judge. But this was opportunity for me. OK. And so I kind of had to, we went into a conversation, but I felt like I got to tell him the truth in a loving place without being so judgmental where, like, he felt like he couldn't go home that evening.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And, like, you know, like, he's kicking somebody out or he's packing his stuff. Now, I did give truth and some practical steps of things moving forward, what that could look like if he wanted to be not in right position with me. Right. And I think that's judgment. Like, hey, this has nothing to do with so I can love you or I can, you know, so you can be around me. But, like, hey, if you want to be right before God, and this is, you're saying you want to be right before God, especially once they open that door as well.
I think that's the key, is that there are people who have, you know, Jesus said, whoever has ears, let him hear. Mm-hmm. Here's a guy asking you.
Yeah.
And by his own admission, he already knows.
Right.
And a lot of times when people bring that stuff to me as a pastor, I'll say, well, you just said it, you know? Right. And that's where our conscience, number one, is speaking to us, you know, and that would be where I would speak to that and call that out in him. Hey, you know what your conscience is telling you, and you know what the word has to say, you know, so you're asking me, what do I think?
Yeah.
I think you already know.
Right.
And hey, but here's the deal. God still loves you.
Right.
We still love you and we're here to help. And I think that's where the world in their sin, in their experiences, and in their, you know, moving through life, they need to know that there is a way forward.
Right.
that gets them into the will and the way of God, right, in doing practical righteousness. Right. Okay, so let's say we've got two Christians mm-hmm. that are sleeping together, right? Yeah. And here they are, they're afraid to come to church because they know they've messed up. Mm-hmm. They know they're doing the wrong thing. When I have someone like that come to the church, my immediate thought is okay, where are they at? Where are their hearts at? And they, mm-hmm. we know we're, you know, and they start having that language. Yeah. We know.
Yeah.
And they feel bad.
Yeah.
Okay, if they continue down that path, here's what's going to happen. They're going to sear their conscience. Mm-hmm. We know that from the Bible, right? Yeah. And the things that used to be things that would make them feel bad now don't make them feel bad anymore. Now they're numb to those things.
Yeah.
And it won't just be sleeping around, or it won't just be that, you know, living together and playing house, you know, whatever you want to call it. And sorry if you think that's judgmental. I mean, it's, hello, let's call it what it is. You know, a lot of people say we're married. I've had couples come to me and say, we've been married for 5 years. Oh, really? That's awesome. Yeah. We were thinking about having a ceremony. And it's like, you are not married. Yeah, you know, right. don't call them your wife. Don't call mm-hmm. them your husband. However, you know, I think people do that because their consciences are seared and they're mm-hmm. numb to those things. And now they're accepting
right.
of worse things than they would have before, which opens the door to more behavior, to more deception, which mm-hmm. is where the devil works, right? Yeah. And it's a slippery path down. My heart as a pastor is, I love you. I don't want you to go down that path. I don't want the devil to you know, tear apart your lives in the future. So let's do this. Let's help. What does help look like? Hey, we'll get you married.
Yep.
You know, go down to the courthouse, get your paper, bring it into the office. We'll do an in-office wedding. Get you guys married. If you don't have the money for that, there's been times where I've paid it out of my own pocket. There's been times where the church has paid for it, you know. Now, that's not an offer to everyone. But
they're coming this
year. Yeah, hey, I heard, you know. But, I mean, seriously, if it's that big of a deal, we're here to help, you know. And then the other thing is sometimes people say, well, you know, we want to have a ceremony. We want to have a wedding, you know. Okay, then move out.
Yeah.
Phone a friend. Phone a family member. Do what you got to do. There was a guy, he was waiting for I've told this story before, I think, but he was waiting for an in-office wedding. They wanted to just come down to the church and get an in-office mm-hmm. wedding. Well, we have a policy that says you don't meet for 2 weeks just because our right. weeks are already scheduled, that sort of a thing. And so for me, it's even longer just because of my preaching schedule. But, you know, people that are willing to wait can. But he was meeting with one of the pastors to try and do an in-office wedding.
Yeah.
And so they scheduled him 2 weeks out, not knowing that's all he wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, otherwise they would have got him going right away.
Yeah.
For 2 weeks, he slept in the car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I believe that there's a blessing of God mm-hmm. for obedience like that.
Right.
He thought, this is what I have to do. This is what I'm going to do. And God sees those things and rewards them, mm-hmm. you know? And I'm always blessed when I see him and his wife in church and they're just worshiping the Lord, man. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's awesome to me. See, that's the thing is that there was no judgment. It's like, all right, cool, man. We'll get you married. And then when I heard that story, I felt bad. I was like, oh man, you know, could have been sleeping in the bed, you know. But the neat thing is look at their hearts for the things of God. We know mm-hmm. we know when we're doing something wrong. We know when we're doing the wrong thing, and that admission opens the door not for judgment. And I think that's the thing in those conversations. There's times where people will reveal their hand. They're waiting for you to judge them. I know what the Bible says, but I'm going to do this anyways. And they're almost obstinate towards you. And that's where I know, hey, this is a closed door for any opportunity for these things. And what do I do in that instance? I just love them, you know, and say, well, hey, you already know, you know, like, but let's talk about something else, you know?
Well, so I'm thinking, Pastor, so going back to specifically the message and even the title, we're in part one of God's judgment versus man's. And I can see how, from what you introduced, was how even the position of what judgment is and our approach to things, God does it a different way. And we saw that through a couple of scriptures. What would be your thought or where do you feel like we're headed into? I mean, well, you know where we're headed in the upcoming weeks. But as you approach even the next part of the message, and what's that big kind of takeaway or what should we walk away with? Our approach to God's truth and what his judgment versus how we judge, right? We want to, if we want to position ourselves and align more like how God would act.
Well, I would just encourage all of our listeners and viewers to read ahead.
Right.
And, you know, in those verses all the way down through, especially verse number 11, I think if you are just looking at this series, we're going to go into another series after that and not focus so much on the judgment of the religious, but really look at our actions and our attitudes. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of it.
Right.
But for this series, especially if you read ahead in verse number 11, you'll find that there are attributes of God's judgment.
Right.
And really, you know, when we took a look at this first part, I wanted to introduce it, not only the topic, but also talk about not being judgmental. For the rest of the series, we're going to look at how to judge according to God's judgment. Because God's judgment versus man's judgment, we see that man's judgment often comes with judgmentalism.
Mm-hmm.
It's often flawed. It's often according to, like we said, those two things, appearances and experiences.
Yeah.
And so God's judgment is according to truth. Now, with that, there's some great, wonderful things that are brought out in these upcoming verses. And with that, we'll see the characteristics of God's judgment mm-hmm. as we go through those things. And so really the takeaway is going to be, how do we incorporate those things into our lives? For this week, it's just working on that flesh that wants to judge others and put people down and,
so good.
You know, elevate self,
yeah.
right, which is pride.
Yeah.
And we have to put those things under the power of the Holy Spirit. We can judge all things because we are spiritual people mm-hmm. and we're rightly judged by no one. However, Jesus, our Lord, said, judge not lest you be judged, and with the measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Examine yourself, get the plank out, and then you can help someone else.
Sorry, Pastor, I was going to say, that second part of that verse, and rightly judged by no one, meaning if we're walking according to God, we're not able to be, we can't be put under a microscope.
So I think that when it says rightly judged by no one, people are going to judge us as Christians.
Right.
However, the unspiritual don't judge right.
Right.
They're going to see your actions. You know, we use the judgment. I gave the example of Charles Spurgeon. Him and his wife had chickens. They would sell the eggs. People judge them that you're this pastor of this big church and you're selling the eggs mm-hmm. like, you should be giving them away.
Right.
Right. Their judgment was, you have enough money
and
you're greedy. And so you're wrong.
Right.
Little did they know he was selling those eggs and giving the money to fund an orphanage.
Right. Their judgment was wrong.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times with Christians, people judge us that you just told that person they're going to hell because you don't like them. Mm-hmm. Right.
That's good.
Rather than you really care about them and love them and don't want them to spend eternity in hell.
Good.
So their judgment is wrong. Same thing with why we go to church, why we would give our money, why we would live holy,
right.
why we would abstain from things, you know, like alcohol or premarital sex or marijuana, like we talked about.
You're just an uptight Christian. You're just this.
You're a holy roller, holier than thou.
Yeah.
You know, and they wrongly judge us, even our motives, our heart. They don't know.
Yeah.
They don't understand those things, right? Why? Because they're unspiritual. So the even the Word of God, right? There's people that I know that have read the entire Bible, right? I know Christians who haven't done that.
Right.
They've read the entire Bible, but because they're unsaved, their unregenerate mind can't understand and they can't judge correctly the things. And so when they look at the life of a Christian or the worldview of a Christian, they wrongly judge because they're judging according to their flesh.
Yeah.
And their own understanding rather than judging according to the Spirit of God. So when we do things, when we have a course, you know, people would look at our lives and say, why are you doing that? You know, why would you raise your kids like that? Why would you, you know, live your life in such a way? Why would you go through all the things that you're going through? I mean, there's a lot of heartache, especially as a pastor. I mean, you're dealing with people's lives. Some get it and you have these wonderful highs. Many don't get it. And you have these terrible lows because you love people so much that when you see then make wrong choices or not get it, not get into the things of God, you carry that.
Right.
And so some people say, why not go work at, you know, you used to love working at the big box store. Go become a manager and then you can go to home and go to bed at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's better ways to make money than pastoring.
Yeah.
You know, you're an artist, you're a photographer, you're an author. Go make money doing that, you know. And why live in San Bernardino? Why not go live at the beach?
Yeah.
You know, California's got way better place. See, the judgment is off.
Yeah.
We're rightly judged by no man.
Right.
I'm here because I'm on assignment.
Yeah.
I'm here because I love the Lord. I'm here because I love people. I'm here because I want to see positive change. And I think that's where many Christians, you know, they might turn down a job promotion that takes them out of the state.
Right.
Why? Because my church is here.
Right.
And people would judge wrongly. You're crazy.
Yeah.
You know? we're rightly judged by no man because we're spiritual and we're looking at the Word of God, making decisions for our lives. And so I think that's where, you know, people outside of that will get that wrong.
Yeah.
They don't understand.
I'm just excited, Pastor. And I think about how, you know, the Holy Spirit lines us up because we are entering a season where we're almost being asked to judge, right? It's in our country. We're coming up on an election, election year, and there's all kind of things going to be in front of us, even amongst other believers. And we're just going line. Here we are minding our business, going line upon line. And we're the Holy Spirit is preparing our hearts, preparing our church, and our listeners and viewers, you know, continue to get in church on the weekends and then continue to be here with us as we kind of recap and add different insights. I pray that you guys were encouraged and hopefully we answered some questions that you might have had. I thought this was a great conversation, Pastor, because we do want to be in right. And I know one of my personal things is I don't want to be the judgy guy. I do want to be able to approach and talk to somebody that doesn't believe like me with truth and not placate to what they want because it's what they want to hear, but also like not on my high horse.
Yeah.
Right. Which kind of goes against our flesh is going to want us to do that. Right. Our flesh wants us to be proud and and haughty and self-righteous. But for the sake of people and loving people and loving God, this is really good stuff to know. And these are great verses. And again, a great presentation, Pastor Dan, a great message. And you communicated it so well. And so we're looking forward
to
the upcoming weeks. Any final thoughts as we close?
Well, you know, I like I said, read ahead and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And then, you know, I think just getting the words of Jesus and examining ourselves is always a good thing to do. It's one of the things I try and do daily is, you know, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, I look at that part that says, forgive us of our sins as we also forgive those who have sinned against us. And that's an introspective time that you look at yourself and say, hey, what am I dealing with? What am I struggling with? Where are there things that are off in my life? And what do I need to confess? What do I need to renounce and forsake and get rid of out of my life? And then when I forgive others too, it helps you not to be judgmental because it's like, yeah, they might have said the wrong thing, but I don't know what they were dealing with before they came to work. You know, I don't know that they had an argument with their spouse or their kids were driving them nuts and then they came in and barked at me, you know, things like that. And, and it helps us to have that introspective view to, you know, I think I said this, when we judge with a mirror.
That's good.
You
know, I love that.
And so when we look at ourselves, you know, and then looking at the judgment of God as we see God as the judge, we have to view God as the righteous judge, as the just judge, as the perfect judge, that when we see his judgments, even though we may not fully understand them, well, why not? Why not, God? You know, a lot of times people want something, and so when God prohibits it, they say, well, why not? You know, because I want it. But to trust a loving Father and to trust that his judgment sees the full picture, you know, he sees down the road that we don't see down. Past our temporary passing pleasures, he sees to the eternal, and he sees that eternal reward as well as the eternal loss. And so we have to trust those things. And that's where when we commit judgment to the Father like Jesus did, even Jesus going and bearing the cross, that even though we may go through something that if we judged it on our own, we'd say, I hate this, right? I don't like this. That God sees to the other side. You know, and the Bible tells us that there were men and women who judged God righteous, who judged eternal more valuable than the temporary. And so they endured suffering and persecution and even death because they wanted to obtain a better resurrection.
Yeah.
And that's where the heart of the Christian has to be. We have to be eternally minded and focused on God is good. And no matter what I see in this life or what happens to me or what people may do, I'm going to judge him faithful, judge him true, and live the way that he wants me to live because his judgment will be ultimately good for my life.
Yeah.
Eternally.
Yeah. That's well said, Pastor. Great way to button that up. God bless you guys, man. We subscribe, hit the like button. Again, we're on Apple Podcasts now.
Share it.
Subscribe, and I'll automatically notify you when you get it. I'm all subscribed on mine, and so now I know when it pops up, so that's exciting.
Awesome.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
Much love.